mercy. And I thought about him tonight, that fish, of course, that God sent along for that backslidden preacher Jonah. And really, the seaweed would have killed him, except mercy got a hold of him. Amen. Mercy sought him. Mercy shook him up. Mercy took care of him for a while. Then he spit him out. And after it was all said and done, Jonah, everybody knew Jonah had been with mercy. And I thank God for that. And I don't have time to preach that maybe another time, but I just thank God for that tonight. Thank God for that song and that I've been delivered from the power and from sin itself and from the grip of Satan. I'm no longer a child of hell, but I'm a child of heaven, amen? I'm a child of the King. Matter of fact, I'm looking forward Sunday night to preaching on what it means to be a son of God, what it means to be a child of the King. There's a lot of wonderful things for a child of the King. By the way, how many of you are a child of the King tonight? Would you raise your hand, Meg and I? Well, good. I'm glad we still have some folks that say amen in this, and not only this place, but in places all around America. By the way, we're losing our amens. And by the way, you guys, you young men up here, you keep saying amen. That's a wonderful thing. Take your Bibles tonight, Hebrews chapter number 12, please, and the Word of God with me. And I'm just so glad and thrilled to be here tonight. I love preaching at the Landmark Baptist Church, and I always appreciate the opportunity. I love preaching at the Landmark Baptist College and look forward to doing that here in the next couple days and just seeing what the Lord will do there. The Bible says a very familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. By the way, we all have that sin, do we not? And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We all have a race to run. We're not in competition with each other, but we're in competition with our own ability and our own opportunity. And what we do with our ability and our opportunity will stand before God with one day. Verse 2, get this, this is the key. Looking unto, so what's the next word? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, who's him, Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against themselves, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Look over at verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I came tonight here knowing that I would be preaching here tonight, and knowing that this is exactly what God would have me preach for this night. As I thought and I wrestled with it, as you preachers know here tonight who are preachers and teachers of the Word of God, you know when you come to a moment, an hour like this, that you must seek God's face and have God's message for this hour. And this is the message that God had laid on my heart tonight for this church in this hour. I hope tonight when it's all said and done, we'll go out of here encouraged. I hope when it's all said and done, we'll go out of here changed, amen? Amen. I don't ever like to preach a message or teach a message or have any part to do with the message where I don't want God to do a work. I want God to do a work whether I'm preaching the message or whether I'm listening to the message, amen? I want God to do His holy work in my life. And I got thinking tonight in the days in which we live, there's no doubt about it, these are the last days. We see men and women falling away like never before. We see people not being as faithful as they used to be. Used to come Sunday morning, used to come Sunday night, and used to come Wednesday night. That was a good thing, amen? Amen. But now no longer they come Wednesday night. Then all of a sudden they don't come Sunday night anymore. Now Sunday morning is maybe for a ball game, or Sunday morning's maybe for the beach, or Sunday morning's maybe for Disney World, and Sunday morning's maybe for something else, some family reunion or family activity. And no longer is the house of God had the relevance that it used to have. People who used to teach Sunday school and people who used to run our buses and people who used to sing in our choirs and people who used to usher in our churches are now, sad to say, some of them aren't even going to a local independent, fundamental, independent Baptist church like this one tonight anymore. There's a great falling away that's happening. And I'm wondering to myself as a young preacher, why is this? How can I help myself not fall away? How can you help yourself tonight not to fall away? You see, it can happen to anybody, can it not? Amen?
Amen.
And why does it happen? Well, In chapter number 12, in verse number 2, I think is the key. The first phrase of the verse, looking unto Jesus. You mark it down. The scenario I just gave you happens when folks fail to look unto Jesus. I'm finding out more and more in the year 2010, brother, that we need to go back, not to preaching some new message, but just to preach the old book, amen?
Amen.
Just to preach that God is good, and God is faithful, and God is awesome, and God is holy. Just to preach that, you know, that Jesus is real. Just to go back to preaching the basics, if you please. I'm finding myself more and more in my preaching, going back to just the basics, if you please. Just going back to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Tonight I want to preach on this subject with the Lord's help, and I need His help. Let's get back to doing what we should do. And if we're going to get back to doing what we should do, it's going to take this. And here's the title. We need a vision of God. Father, I pray you help us tonight. Dear Holy Spirit of God, do what I cannot do, and that is speak to every heart tonight. Please anoint me afresh and anew. Hide me behind the cross. God, bind every spirit that is not the spirit of Christ. And God, please speak in and through me tonight. And may you get all the glory and help me to be careful to make sure you do in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Think about the services that changed your life. Those are the services where you had a vision of God. Now, I'm not talking about seeing a 90-foot Jesus. But I'm talking about when the God of the universe, as a songwriter wrote, when the Savior reached down for me, amen? He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son when the Savior reached down for me. Do you remember the day when He reached down for you? Do you remember the day He gripped a hold of your soul and you felt like in yourself, I can't do nothing but do what God wants me to do? Can you remember the day when He gripped your soul, maybe in a service on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or at a teen camp or at a conference somewhere where God got all over you and God got a hold of your heart and you can do nothing else but bow your knee and say like the songwriter wrote, yes, Lord, yes. To your will and to your way. Do you remember when that happened? Those are the great services. Do you remember when you were called to preach, young man who's a college student here tonight, or pastor friend who's here tonight? Do you remember when God did a great work in your heart? Do you remember the day that you were saved? That's what I'm talking about tonight. But yet we get so far away from that. We get so far away from that. And we get so busy in the routine, and we get so busy in all the duties and all the do's and all the don'ts, and I'm for all that. But we get so busy in it, we fail somehow to see a vision of God. Because you see, we can have all the energy we want. We can have all the power, the strength we want in ourselves. But that is not going to cut it for this Christian life. Jesus said, without me, ye can do what? Nothing. Why does it take supernatural power to get saved, but yet we don't live the Christian life in a supernatural way? The truth of the matter is many of us are guilty tonight of living this life, this Christian life, in our own flesh. You know how you check that? How is your joy lately? No joy, you're not living in the power of God. God wants His children to depend on Him. God has designed the Christian life that we cannot succeed unless we look unto Jesus.
Amen.
That is it. We must keep focused tonight. We must not allow our focus to be broken. But in this world which we live, it's so easy to have our focus broken. We have more gadgets and more gizmos, and I'm not against them. We have more things that we don't have to depend upon God tonight. Your refrigerator breaks. Years ago, they used to pray for new refrigerators. Now they go to MasterCard, Visa, Discover, American Express. Think about it. Years ago, the farmers had to pray and the people had to pray for their food. Not just thank you for this greasy McDonald's burger we're eating, amen? And that's not good for you anyways. But they would have to pray that God would send rain because they didn't have sprinkler systems. If God didn't send rain and God didn't bring the sun up and God didn't keep the weather right, what would happen? No food. the old timers had a real dependence upon God that the modern church in the year 2010, we don't have that. We wonder why our services aren't being filled. We wonder why people aren't being saved in the droves. I've heard of the days, and Brother Carter, you were around the days of the 70s and the 60s and the 50s when it was nothing to fill a bus. It was nothing to fill the house of God. It was nothing to see not only one or two people having decisions, but seeing 50 and 60 and 70 and 80 and 90 and 100 and seeing people saved throughout the week. But we don't see that anymore like we used to. Has God changed? No, we have. We've got to get back. What is your vision of God tonight? Who is God to you? What is God to you? Who is God? And we're going to look at some folks, and we're going to look at the Christian life. There's natural byproducts that come in the Christian life. The Christian life can't be forced. Do you understand that tonight? Amen? The Christian life can't be forced. When you do, and you live in the power of God, and you do what God wants you to do, there's some natural byproducts that will come as a result of our vision of God tonight. Frustrated Christian, you know what you need? A vision of God. Discouraged Christian, you know what you need tonight? A vision of God. See, right now, boy, the economists are out there, and the politicians are out there, and everybody else in the world's out there, and it's all what? Doom and gloom. I don't care which party's in power. You're still going to hear the doom and gloom. And if you're not careful, what happens? We focus on that, and we lose our focus on Jesus. And then before long, we're discouraged, we're despondent, and before long, we are not witnessing like we should, we're not giving like we should, because we have broken focus. May God help us tonight not to have broken focus. What is your vision of God? Who is God to you? Let me just give you a thought here. Somebody said this, and I like this. This is a little cute thought. I like it, though. Someone said, God is like Bayer Aspirin. He works miracles. God is like Ford, or Chevy, if you please. He's got a better idea. God is like Coke. He's the real thing. God is like Hallmark cards. He cares enough to send you his very best. God is like Tide. He gets the stains out that others leave behind. God is like GE, because he brings good things to life. God's like Walmart. He just has everything. God's like Alka-Seltzer. Try him, and you'll like him. Someone said, God is like Scotch tape. You can't see him, but you know he's there. Amen? I want you to know tonight, what is your vision of God? Who is God to you tonight? Before we get in the message a little further, God is self-existent. God is self-sufficient. God is eternal. God is infinite. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God is wise. God is immutable. God is sovereign. God is incomprehensible. God is holy. God is right and just and true and faithful, and God is light, and God is merciful and gracious and love, and he's a spirit, and he's one, and he's a trinity. But I want to say, God is good tonight. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Has he ever let you down? No, he hasn't. So I don't care what the economy says and what's going on in your life, God will not let you down. So if we're going to get a vision of God tonight, I think we need to look at some folks in the Bible who caught a vision of God and what that vision of God results in. Because, Brother Carter, I want these results. And this church wants these results. And by the way, you want these results tonight in your own life. So let's look at a couple of folks. Acts chapter 9, verse number 1 and 12. And good night, I've got to hurry up here. Acts chapter number 9, verses 1 through 12 is a story of Saul. Of course, he was the one who was breathing out, as verse 1 says, threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord. Went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, by the way, I'm glad I'm one of those in that way, amen? Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou? And I love the next word, Lord. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And we can go on and you can read all the way through down to verse number 12. And God showed up on the scene and saw a vision of God. And what did that vision of God result in? It resulted in Saul's conversion. It resulted in Saul's salvation. Amen. And I want you to know today, there is no substitute for the Lord Jesus Christ. Drama is not a substitute for the preaching of the cross. Amen. I love your choir. I love your music. But that is no substitute for the preaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up. Hey, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I want you to know tonight, we need to be busy about lifting up the Lord Jesus, because when we lift up the Lord Jesus, lost people are hopeless without God in the dregs of their sin, in their wickedness, in their despair. When we lift Jesus up, they're going to see him high and lifted up and holy. They're going to see that he is their hope, that he is the way, that he is the truth, that he is the life, and that he is their salvation. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. What am I trying to say tonight? We need to lift Jesus up. We need to get people to see Jesus. And when they see Jesus once again, it'll result in old time Bible salvation. Listen, we can bring him in by the droves and have a rock concert. That's not going to change your life. But let's bring him in by the droves and let this man back here preach Jesus crucified, buried, and risen again the third day. And let's watch folks come to Christ. Amen. When you preach Christ, I want you to know, when you lift up Jesus, when Saul got a vision of God, what happened? He went from being a murderer to forgiven. He went from being persecutor to persecuted. He went from ugliness to beauty. He went from pride to humility. He went from a child of hell to a child of heaven. Listen, Jesus gave him a new nature. Jesus gave him a new name. Jesus changed his destiny. Jesus changed his direction. Jesus changed his destination. Why? I want you to know, because Saul got a vision of God. I want you to know tonight, if we would just get people to Jesus and preach Jesus crucified, buried, and risen, and coming again, I want you to know that will still get the job done. Somebody should say amen right there. Listen, Saul caught a vision and it resulted in salvation. Number two, Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Moses caught a vision of God. Verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. What a God we serve. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. He said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send unto thee Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And said, certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said unto Moses, I love it, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Moses caught a vision of God. He realized his weakness. He realized his frailties. He realized who he was, his sinfulness. But when he caught a vision of God, when Saul caught the vision of God, it moved him to salvation, to Paul. When Moses caught the vision of God, it moved him to service. To service. I could get up here tonight, and your church is probably like our church, and I can tell you about all the needs. I can tell you about the needs in the bus route, in the bus ministry. I can tell you about the needs in the Christian school. I'm sure Brother Carter can tell you about the needs in the college. We can tell you about the needs for more choir members and more ushers and more folks coming on visitation and more folks in this ministry or that ministry. And we can get up here and we can basically, excuse the term, but we can basically beat you over the head until you do it. But some of you have no joy in your bus ministry. You have no joy in your choir service. You have no joy in your usher service. You have no joy in your visitation. You have no joy in that ministry. You have no joy as a teacher in that Christian school. You have no joy as a professor in that college. I don't know tonight. I'm just saying, is that you? If it is, my brother, my sister, you need a vision of God. Because when you get a vision of who you're serving, you're not serving just the pastor of the Landmark Baptist Church. You're serving the God of the pastor of the Landmark Baptist Church. Amen?
Amen.
And God has appointed him here and put him here. We know all that, and I don't need to preach that to you tonight. But my point is this. It will change some of our service. Amen? And by the way, it will cause some of us to start serving when we realize who God is tonight. God is real. He's holy. He's awesome. He's great. He's mighty. He's merciful. He's love. He's worthy. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's not sick. He's not tired. He's not confused. And he knows exactly what he's doing. Amen. And if you and I really believe all that, then my question is you tonight, why aren't we serving him like we should? God didn't save us to sit sour and soak. God saved us to sit and to take what we get like a sponge and then to go out there and wring it out to this old wicked world, amen? Amen? To wring it out to another brother, to wring it out to the lost, to wring it out to somebody else and come back in here and get our cup full again and then pour it on somebody else, amen?
Amen.
God saved us to serve him. I got a question for you. What have you done for Jesus Christ this week? What have you done for eternity this week? What have you done? I know you work your job and you have to work your job and that's important, but can I tell you something? Your jobs will come and go. What you do for Jesus will last for eternity. What you do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night at this church will last for eternity. When you sing in that choir, it's a spiritual work, amen? When you usher, it's a spiritual work. When you are witnessing to others, it's a spiritual work. And those are the things that will last for eternity. When you're teaching those boys and girls on Sunday morning for the Sunday school hour, or you're riding on that yellow bus early in the morning when it's cold and the bus will hardly start, and you get home late and then you have to come to choir practice, and you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you think, my goodness, I'm so worn out on Sunday. I want you to know what you do for Jesus Christ will last for all of eternity. And that's what's important tonight. May God help us to do that tonight, to serve this God. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:14. Just turn there and look through those verses later. It talks about the fact that all of us have a part in this local church. Amen. God has a job for each and every one of us to do. Listen tonight, whether you are the janitor of this church, or whether you're the pastor of this church, or whether you're a member of this church, I want you to know tonight, God has something for you to do in this local assembly. Find out what it is and get busy serving him, because we have a God tonight worth serving, amen?
Amen.
We have a God who saved our sorry soul, who took our feet and he redeemed us, and he set our feet upon a rock. He established our goings. He's put a new song in our mouth. And how are we repaying him tonight? I want to repay him all I can. Amen.
Amen.
Serve the Lord. Number three. Isaiah caught a vision. Isaiah 6:1. I won't take time to read all the passages here, but you know in Isaiah 6:1, the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. By the way, the Lord's still holy, amen?
Amen.
And the Lord still wants his people to be holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved as the voice of him cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone. What happened? Isaiah got a vision of God. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then, of course, you read down in the verses what happens to Isaiah in verse number 8. And I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Why did he go? I'll tell you why he went, because he got a vision of God. When you get a vision of God, it'll result in salvation. When you get a vision of God, it'll result in service. And when you get a vision of God, my brother, my sister, I want you to know tonight, it will involve surrender. It will cause you to surrender. Lord, whatever, whenever, however, wherever, I'm willing. Africa, I'll go. Haiti, I'll go. India, Japan, around the world, I'll go. I'll go across the street. I'll teach that class. I'll run that bus. I'll do more for you, Lord. I'll give more to you, Lord. Whatever you want, wherever you want, whatever you want, Lord, I will. Why? Because you've got a big God tonight. Amen?
Amen.
You've got a God who sits on the throne. And by the way, when you get a vision of God and when you put your focus back on Jesus, it won't just conform your life, but it'll transform your life. Amen. Our attitude towards the Lord would be different tonight if we just catch a vision of him. What happened to Isaiah? It took the focus off himself and it put it on God. God has a greater purpose. God had a greater purpose for Isaiah's life. And can I say to you tonight, God has a greater purpose for your life tonight. I don't know what that purpose is, but God does. You know what you need to do? Look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. And let God reveal to you what that purpose is in your life. A greater purpose. Listen, God has a greater plan than you could ever conjure up for your own life. God has a greater plan. When Isaiah saw the Lord, three things happened. Just if you want to jot them down, you can. I believe these three things happened. Number one, he got his priorities straight. His priorities got straightened out. I've never seen so many people with such mixed up priorities. Last time I checked, God should be at the top. Amen. God should be at the top. But he's not anymore. Why? Because our vision of God has dwaned. It has dwaned down. We've brought God down to our level. At least we think we have. But we haven't. God's not going to come down to our level. He wants us to go to him. He wants us to go to the mountain, if you please. It got his priorities straight. Number two, his purpose was settled. You'll never do something great for God and do something for the Lord until you get settled. And the settling comes when you know who you are in him. His purpose was settled. Number three, his path was straight. He had that unbreakable, look here, he had that unbreakable focus. That unbreakable focus. Again, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I got thinking about men of God of years of old. How in the world did they do what they did? It's because they knew that they served a God who was way bigger than them. David Brainerd, why did he do what he did? He served a God bigger than him, bigger than his problems, bigger than his circumstances, worthy of his praise, worthy of glory, worthy to be worshipped. He served that kind of God. Adam Nyer Judson, William Carey, Lee Robertson. What would cause a man, Lee Robertson, to pastor all those years, who had his daughter die, whose name was Joy? Why would he continue to keep on keeping on? Because there was something greater than that in his life. And his focus was not on the circumstances of his life. His focus was on the Lord Jesus Christ. He kept on keeping on. Why? Because his eyes were on Jesus Christ. About a year ago now, we had one of the most tragic things happen in our personal family's life. I watched my sister-in-law, who as a 9-year-old girl had a brain tumor. They said if she lived 5 years, it would be a miracle. And she lived well over those 5 years. God did a miracle work in her life. Some of you have met her. Some of you have heard her testimony. Some of you have seen some of her handiwork that she has done around our place. And about a year ago now, this last August it was, August the 5th it was, a year ago, August 5th, I remember that she had got sick. And she's, you know, in her 30s now. And God has blessed her life. And within 2 weeks, God called her to go home to be with her. I watched my mother-in-law there. I was there the moment that she was pronounced. I was actually there. I could hear a faint cry. And I was behind the doctor. He was on the phone telling my father-in-law, she's gone. And I turned white as a ghost thinking, did he really say what he said? I'm living in a surreal moment. She's gone. I'm sorry. We did everything we could. She's gone. As I went in there and I slid back the sliding glass door. Now the first one there, my mother-in-law's there. She's her body's over the dead body of her daughter. And she's crying. I'm thinking, dear Lord, she's gone. She's with you. What do we do? I remember my mother-in-law cried for a while, and she cried so hard, and you can understand that, couldn't you?
Yes.
She's crying hard, sobbing uncontrollably. And nobody would blame her. I was there rubbing her back a little bit. My wife and I were just talking about this the other night, and hugged her and embraced her, and she would kind of lay on her daughter's body, and she would cry, and she would cry for a little while, and she'd get up, and she'd cry a little while. This didn't happen long. But I remember Dr. Carter, she raised up in her grief, and she said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Where did that come from? That's your daughter. Where did that come from? She knew she served a mighty God. Amen.
Amen.
And that he was worthy of praise. Why does a man like my father-in-law, pastor for now 40 years, and keep on keeping on through thick and thin? Why does a man like Dr. Carter, through thick and thin, through the ups and through the downs, through the good times and through the bad, why do men like these men keep on keeping on? I want you to know they've got a vision of God. And it resulted in their surrender. It resulted in their service. It resulted in their salvation. What we need tonight, my friend, what we need tonight, we need to get on our face before God again and ask God to give us a fresh glimpse of his glory. Ask God, like Moses when he was there, I can see him. He's now realized who God is. And now no longer is he hiding from God, but he's begging God, God, I want to see you. God, I got to see your face. God, please let me look at you. Please don't go away. And God finally says, okay, Moses, go in the cliff. I'm going to hide. You can't see my face because you're going to die, but I'll just let you see a little bit of my glory. And now Moses has seen the glory of God, and he comes down. And brother, he doesn't have to put a sign on and says, I've seen the face of God. When he walked down, everybody knew that Moses had been with God. Brother, he was glowing. Something was different about his life. And I want you to know, when you get alone with your God, and when you get with your God somewhere, and you're in his book, and you're in your prayer closet, and God is doing a work in your life, listen, you don't have to go around patting yourself on the back, tooting your own horn, because everybody's going to know that God is doing something in your life once again. Be the last thing we got to go. I've got 2 minutes. Here we go. I want to get invited back. Amen. Number four, Peter caught a vision of God. Matthew 14. I won't take time to read the verses. I hope you know the story. There they are. They're out in the sea. They're in the midst of the sea. It was tossed with waves. The wind was contrary. Verse 25 tells us that Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Yeah. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is a spirit? And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto the end of the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come to the ship, the wind ceased. So when Saul caught a vision of God, it resulted in salvation. When Moses caught a vision of God, it resulted in service. When Isaiah caught a vision of God, it resulted in surrender. But when Peter caught a vision of God, it resulted in the supernatural. Criticize them all you want. You never got to walk on water. He did, though. Why? Because he caught a vision of God. He caught a vision of God. Why didn't the other disciples come out of the boat? Maybe they didn't believe Jesus could do it. But Peter did. Peter did. Well, we know he took his eyes off the Lord. But for that moment, his eyes, his focus, his looking unto Jesus was there. God did a supernatural work in his life. I don't know about you, Dr. Carter, but I want to see people get saved. Amen?
Amen.
I want to see people serving God. I want to see people surrender to God. And I want in my life, in the life of my church, and I'm sure you would say the same thing, you and both Pastor Stephen Carter would say the same thing, that you guys want the same thing for this church. You want God's people in this church to do the supernatural. The things that only God can do. God can do anything, amen? Do you still believe that tonight? He's still on the throne tonight. The supernatural will never happen in our life until we get a vision of God. It's time for us to get back in our prayer closets again. It's time for us to get back and have personal devotion once again. It's time for us to listen for the voice of God. It's time for us to get out of the way. It's time for us to stop hogging the glory and giving God the glory once again. It's time for us to catch a vision. Listen, when the Hebrew children caught a vision, amen, just a fire, just a rope fell off and they didn't even smell like smoke. When John caught the vision, God let him pen the book through him, gave him that vision of that great book that we have today called the Revelation, amen. Listen, what am I trying to say tonight? I'm trying to say we need to get a vision of God. Listen, are you joyless tonight? Are you depressed tonight? Are you discouraged tonight? Are you despondent tonight? Are you worried tonight? Are you fearful tonight? Listen, I don't know about you, but that sounds like you're not serving a great big God. That's not my God tonight. My God is mighty. My God is awesome. My God is great. My God can do anything. He can save sinners, amen? He can lift people up. He can help you with your economic problem tonight. He can help you with your social problem tonight. He can help you with your sin problem tonight. He can help you with any problem you have tonight, because my God's just that big. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Listen, I want you to know tonight, my God made the lame to walk and caused the dumb to talk and caused the deaf to hear and the blind to see. I want you to know, God, my God raised the dead back to life, and we've even heard stories about that even around this place. I want you to know tonight, my God can still do anything. My God is still on the throne. My God doesn't need help from anybody else. My God is the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And I want you to know tonight, we have a great God tonight. Father, thank you for